call your attention to the Gospel according to St. Luke out of the 10th chapter and supporting scripture coming from Philippians 2 and 12. St. Luke 10. Beginning at verse 38. The 10th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, beginning at verse 38. The Bible reads, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister have left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary have chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" The base of our thinking coming from the 40th verse, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister have left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.'" Supporting scripture coming from Philippians 2 and 12. "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister have left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.'" On the basis of those verses, we'd like to use a thought or subject this morning. Don't worry about Mary. You just do you. Don't worry about Mary. You just do you. He is a waymaker this morning. And the Lord will make a way for you, you, and you. All you got to do is trust and believe in the power of God and know that God is able to do anything that he desires to do. That's why we're here this morning, because God is such a mighty good God. We're here this morning because we serve a merciful and a loving God. And because he is so merciful, because he loves us and has so much compassion, he allowed his only begotten son to die in our stead. And for that, we are still rejoicing. We're rejoicing in the fact that God is still a mighty good God. And we are rejoicing in the fact that he's allowed us another opportunity to come. And I don't know about you, but it's a blessing to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It is a blessing to be able to just have a mindset to lift up my hands, and my hands are able to go up in the air. Anybody want to just lift up holy hands to the Lord this morning? Anybody come to tell God thank you? Have you got anything to thank God for this morning? As you look back over your last week's journey and think about how good the Lord God had been, something down on the inside ought to give you a hallelujah praise. Somebody ought to come to tell God, thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I guarantee you, when you give it up for the Lord, when you offer praises unto his holy name, you will begin to feel something moving down on the inside. And it will encourage your heart to just go on. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. I get excited about Jesus because I found out that he is the best thing that has ever happened to me. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, you know, that was a time that there were just words out of my mouth. But now I know if it hadn't been for God who had been on my side, Lord, I would have been lost. I don't know where I would be. But even in the raggedy shape that I'm in this morning, God still has me in his merciful, loving hand. Still taking care of us. Still making a way out of no way. And even that one this morning that feels like that all of your running has been in vain, I come to encourage your heart this morning to tell you, don't let the devil fool you. Anytime you're doing something worthwhile, the devil going to talk about you. The devil going to try to make you feel bad about it. But you got to have your mind made up and you got to keep your focus. You got to stay focused on Jesus. We got to understand that the only reason we are here this morning or should be here is to praise and worship and glorify God. This is the house of a mighty God. And we thank God for allowing us an opportunity to share the love of Jesus one with another. I thank the Lord this morning for another day's journey. I thank him for all that he's done throughout last week. And even more so, I thank God for this present moment, because from the time that you got up this morning out of your bed to this present moment right now, God has been blessing you. And how many times do we fail to recognize the blessings of God? Because he blesses us all the time. So we've come accustomed to being blessed. We've come accustomed to when we get up, we're able to get out of the bed. But what about those days when you get up and your mind say get out, but your body say not yet? But you lay there and you begin to talk to God until God say, okay, now you get everything moving. Now you can get up. And how many of you know that when you get up that time, you really want to tell God, Lord, I just want to thank you. Because I could have been still laying there in that bed. Don't take your blessings for granted. There's somebody that would love to be able to just get up and down like you do. And everybody that can't get up and down is not old and sick. There's some young folk that can't get up this morning. There's some young folk that bodies and minds are gone, already gone. And we got to understand that we serve a loving God. And because he is such a good God, I'm reminded that I ought to give him praise. I'm reminded that when we come into the house of God, he is worthy of all of our praises. And as we glorify God and as we make a joyful noise unto the Lord, let us be reminded that not only should we praise him because of who he is and what he's done, but just praise him anyhow. We praised him on Palm Sunday. We praised him on Easter Sunday. But don't you know every day is a day of Thanksgiving? Don't you know that today it's just important to know that he got up out the grave as it was last Sunday? You got to understand that it's more to Christianity than Christmas and Easter. If that's the only time that you're going to get close to God, then you got a whole lot of weeks in there where the devil going to be busy. But you ought to have a mindset that every time I get an opportunity, I want to be in the presence of God. I want to be in the fellowship with God. I want to be in the service with the people of God, because the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. We need to come together so we can vent off of one another's spirits, off of one another's strength. We got to know that we got to help one another as we go along this way. We got to understand that God does not change from day to day like we do. One day we're smiling, the next day we're frowned up. One day we're speaking, the next day we're not speaking. But God, the Bible declared Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, and forever. He didn't get up this morning on a bad mood. Hallelujah. We like to use that term that I got up on the wrong side of the bed, and a lot of you got your bed up against the wall. Ain't but one side to get out on. So you need a new excuse. Or you need to change your furniture around or do something. Because if you're getting up on that side and every day you got some problem, change that bed around or crawl over and get off on the foot of the bed instead of off the side of the bed. You got to learn to do what you got to do you. It's comical, but it makes sense. If that's what you're using for an excuse. For your attitude or for the way that you treat one another. Don't you know when you get up in the morning, you're not the only one that had a bad day? Just because an individual may not be acting like you think they ought to act, you don't know what they're going through. Because everything that you go through, you can't wear on your face. Everything that you go through, you can't tell everybody. There's something you stick away in your secret closet and you talk to the Lord about it. And God said, when you come out, don't tell nobody. Just wait on me and watch me work it out. Anybody ever seen God work it out? Hallelujah! God has a way of working it out. And the God I serve, I love him enough that I want to be like David. I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Well, what are you in here for this morning? you didn't come to praise God, you're in the wrong place. If you got a breath in you, then you ought to have a praise. Because the Bible said, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Check your pulse. Is everybody breathing? If you're getting a pulse, then you ought to have a praise. You don't have to praise him like nobody else. That's what I come to straighten out this morning. Don't worry about Mary. You do you. I get joy when I think about what the Lord God has done for me. I even get joy when I look and see what God has done for my sisters and for my brothers. I get joy when I look around into the sheepfold and I see those that have been in the hospital and back in the house of God. On the bed of affliction, but back in the house of God. Sometimes being knocked down and dragged through the mud and treated like nothing but anything but a child of God, but you still came back to the house of God. And I come to tell you this morning that your coming is not in vain. Don't let the devil fool you. God got something in store for you this morning. You know, we ought to get caught up sometime into doing what the Lord God wants us to do. Hallelujah, Jesus. I was caught up when I read the Sunday school lesson, and I was just caught up wanting to sort of come from that lesson. But those of you that went with me on Holy Week, remember that I preached from that same text. And the thought that we used that night is don't forget whose house it is. When Jesus got spiritually angry and when he was going on with what was going on in the house of God, the selling and the exchanges of money in the courtyard of the temple. But don't you know that even in reading the lesson again, another thing that I wanted to pull out of there was that we got to understand the reason why Jesus was so upset. You see, it was a known fact that they needed the animals for a sacrifice. It was a known fact that they needed the right kind of money in order to be able to pay their taxes. But the problem was, is that we cannot compromise the house of God. You see, what had happened was that they were doing all of this selling and all of these things in what they called the outer court of the temple. But the outer court of the temple was just as sacred as the temple. Because this was the area where the Gentiles gathered because they wasn't a Jew. They couldn't go in the temple. So they had some restrictions. So that was an area where they could not go. But this is our worship area. So now if you got your worship area, you don't want anything going on in your worship area. So when Jesus walks in and see all of this commotion and these things going on, he got spiritually upset because they had changed his house into a house of business. It's not a house of business. It's a house where he is to be reverenced and glorified and magnified and lifted up. And then the thing what we have to understand is that this church that we call Fowl's Chapel is just a little panel and a little bit of brick, but it's just nothing but a big old building. But the real church is in you, for the Bible declared that your body is a temple of the Almighty God. So when you come into this building where we come to worship God, what kind of church did you bring in here? We make the term and we say sometimes, I wouldn't go to that church. That's a dry church, or this about the church, or that about the church. But you better be careful because you're talking about yourself. So what we got to understand is that when we come to the house of God, this place we should reverence, not only the pulpit, but the whole church house, all along the ground. You know how it is, how we've done compromise the house of God, and God is tired of us compromising, trying to make people feel a little bit better. If you got to do it the wrong way to feel better, then you ought not feel better. Don't you know when we were children, we realized that when you came in and it was a thing that I'm on church ground. You remember that terminology? Not so much that you were in the church house, but you on church ground. And church ground is sacred ground. And you shouldn't be cussing and smoking and doing all kind of things on church ground. I said it. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Not throwing a stone at anybody, just telling you what the truth is. Then you have to weigh out what you're going to do. Can't nobody make you do nothing. But understand that when we come to the house of God, we ought not just be coming, going through the motions. It ought not be just a tradition. It ought not be just the fact that we can say that I went to church Sunday morning. But we ought to come to the house to reverence God. We ought to come in, and this house ought to be full of enough of spiritual power that you can feel the presence of God when you walk in. See, I don't want you to feel my spirit. I want you to feel the presence of God, because God's spirit has a drawing effect. God's spirit has a way of taking care of you when nobody else can. God's spirit will be there in the midnight hour when the doctor can't get to you. God's spirit can be your doctor. Anybody ever felt the presence of God coming down into your sick room and begin to touch your feeble body? Hallelujah, Jesus. I find too often that we spend too much time worried about the wrong thing. Too many of us are concerned about what everybody else is doing. But have you thought about what you are doing? So many times we like to find out what the other folk might be up to. But I come to let you know that the Bible declared that so a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The Bible said that if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. It also tells us this morning that every man, every woman got to work out his own soul's salvation. Now, we're worried about one another, but my Bible said that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue got to confess that he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Now, who's going to bow for you? Who's going to talk for you? You can't go on the fact that somebody prayed for me. I thank God that somebody prayed for me, but have you prayed for yourself? See, you got to look here in the Word of God. The Bible said that wherefore God also have highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your soul's salvation. See, what Paul was saying was that I know that you're doing some good work. But I got to leave you. I'm not going to be with you always. So when I leave you, I want to make sure that you know that the work still got to go on. There are some of us don't work unless we got some particular eyes on us. When certain eyes are on us, then we jump up, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. But then there are times when you don't think that nobody's watching, that you're not doing anything. But then there's a time that when somebody's coming through and you want to feel important, you jump up and say, I'll do it, I'll do it. But when it comes time for it to be done, you find that bag of excuses you've been dragging around, and you pull it up and grab an excuse out the bag. Amen. And I stopped by to tell you this morning that excuse time is over. You better learn how to trust the power of God. The Bible said that every man got to work out his own soul salvation. Stop worrying about what everybody else is doing. Stop talking about what they did over there and what they did down yonder. Don't worry about what's going on at First Baptist or up at Union Baptist. You are in Fowl's Chapel right now. Don't worry about what's going down at Deliverance. All you got to know is the Bible said that when we come into the house of God, we come to worship him in spirit and in truth. We come in to worship and leave out to serve. But there's always somebody looking out of the corner of their eye. Always somebody wondering, why didn't they do it this way? Or why didn't you do it that way? Well, I come to ask you, why don't you do something? Stop looking out of your eye. Stop pointing your finger at everybody else. There comes a time that you got to let God have his way. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't serve the Lord our God. Everybody got to serve him in their own way. I want to tell you a story this morning. There was a woman by the name of Martha. And on one day, her and Mary, they were the sisters of Lazarus. They were good friends to Jesus. And Jesus was passing through. The Bible said that as he passed through and he entered into the city in this village, the city was called Bethany. A certain woman by the name of Martha said, come on in, Lord. You can sit down and have a little bite to eat. Well, Martha began to look around. Martha began to do all the things that need to be done. You know how it is when you got company in your house. Somebody got to make sure that the company got something to eat. The company got something to drink. In that day and time, somebody need to wash the company's feet. Somebody need to let him know that you're welcome into my house. But you know how it is when there's always somebody that'll let you do all of the work. And they'll stand there and get all of the glory. But the Bible said that as Martha was serving Jesus, that Mary was sitting down at Jesus' feet. That was something that she'd done on time before. She just loved to listen to the word of the Lord. She loved to hear what God had to say. And she believed that everything came out of God's mouth. It was for her good. So she sat there very attentively listening to what God had to say. But look at old Sister Martha. Martha began to look at Mary. Martha walking all around. Martha picking up this and going and get that and giving this to Jesus and giving that to Jesus. Then Martha looked at Mary. Here Mary is just sitting there, not doing a darn thing. Martha began to say, oh, Lord, come on, Jesus. Don't you see my sister Mary? I'm doing all of the work. Don't you care that Mary not helping me? But the Bible said that the Lord said, Martha, Martha, you're worrying about and you're troubled about a whole lot of things. But don't be worried about Mary. Mary's going to be all right. I somebody tell somebody to stop worrying about the Marys in your life. Stop worrying about the John Willis. Stop worrying about the King Home. Stop worrying about those folk on the other side of the track. And you just do you. If you don't like the way that they do it, you do it the way God gave it to you. If you don't like what the man of God said, you read the word of God for yourself. I somebody tell somebody this morning that you better learn to stop worrying about everybody else and work out your own soul salvation. If the Lord comes right now, are you ready to go back with him? If you're not ready to die, then you better put yourself in check, knowing that the Lord will make a way out of no way. I come to tell somebody to stop worrying about any and everybody else and just worry about yourself. Work out your soul salvation. And if you get yourself right, then you might be able to help somebody along the way. But you can't help nobody until you help yourself. And you can't help yourself without the Spirit and the power of God. You see, we got a whole lot of Marthas that are looking around at other folk and talking about what they are not doing. But are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? See, that's all I come to tell you. Don't worry about Mary. Mary gonna take care of herself. You worry about you. You do you. And if you can do you, then everything's going to be all right. But see, some of you can't even do yourself because you're too caught up in somebody else's mess. You see, if you learn to just work out your own stuff instead of trying to handle things across town, the Jones is going to take care of theirs. And if they don't, it's not your business anyway. You just make sure that you got your house in order. For when the Lord comes to your house or to your name, what would be the response? Will he be able to say, well done? Or would you get the word, depart from me? If you're still sitting on pew do nothing, depart from me. When you are able to do something, God knows who is able and who's not able. God's going to bless all of us because the Bible declares that he blesses the just as well as the unjust. So don't think that you got an upper hand, per se, just because you call yourself a believer. You're just in a little bit better shape. But the real hope goes to the end. We have to understand that it's not about us this morning. It's all about Jesus. And every man, every woman in here got to work out your soul salvation, that God will be pleased with your walk. Stop getting bent out of shape because of he say, she say. Because he say, she say, going to keep on talking as long as they got a tongue in their mouth. And as long as they got a listening ear. See, sometimes if we stop listening, they'll stop talking. But if you give them an attentive ear, then they're going to keep on. And then I heard somebody say that once you said all you know, say it, Miss Vinnie. I heard you. So there comes a time that you got to just be still and let God be God.